that he should feel that way. I kind of feel that way. I guess we've been talking about the same time anyway, so. Awesome. So, first of all, was there anyone that did not go to the Power Hours roller coaster session? Because if you didn't, I have actually a handout that has some information on praying with children and altar working. Okay. Brother Austin, would you mind grabbing some of those handouts? Oh, here we go. Hasn't this been awesome? My goodness. We're rounding down to the end of the day, and I know there might be some tired eyes and weak ears, but I'll tell you what, God's going to bless you for your efforts and your sacrifice in being here, and God is, I really feel, is going to multiply your ministry if you take home what you learn this weekend and take it home and utilize it at your church. So, praying with children. I've learned quite a bit with praying with children. I don't know if I'd consider myself a pro. I don't think anybody could be a professional prayer warrior anyway. It's just something that comes from the heart and your relationship with Jesus. First of all, something about praying with children in kids' church and in Sunday school, I have a term that I use, and anybody that understands mechanics or is old enough to, you know, have driven a stick shift, you'll kind of understand my scenario. A phrase that I have, it's don't pop the clutch when you're praying with children. Don't pop the clutch. This is a phenomenon that happens when a child isn't ready to let go, but we force them to way too fast while pressing on the gas way too hard. You're going to pop the clutch if the child's not ready to let go, but you force them to let go all the while, press on the gas way too hard. Let the children grow in prayer and in their walk with God. As children's ministers, we are to train them patiently to pray and be sensitive to what God wants to do in any given circumstance. Later on in the handout I gave you, I wrote it down already, but I just feel to say it right now. We don't tell kids that they need to pray. We don't tell kids, you need to pray. Think about it. They're children. Your children. When you train your children how to tie their shoe, you don't look at the need and you don't say, hey, you need to tie your shoe. That's not how you train them. That's not how you develop them into mature children and that are able to tie their own shoe. That's not how it works. You don't tell them that. We need to instead of telling children you need to pray, we need to show them 800 times how to pray. So if you want children to know how to pray, you be that example to them. You be praying. If there's children in your Sunday school class that aren't bus kids and they're there every time the doors are open because their parents are there, they need to see their children's workers. They need to see their Sunday school team praising, worshiping God during service and in the altars during altar call. They need to see you at pre-service prayer. They need to see you at church prayer meetings. Why? Because if you want to train your children how to pray, you show them how. You don't tell them how. You show them how. And one thing we do with kids is we don't pray for them. Pray with them. A lot of these kids, they want to pray, but so many times we just see that they're sensitive to God, and we automatically think we know what they need or what they want to pray for, and so we just lay their hands on them and say, in the name of Jesus, receive ye the Holy Ghost, and I'll go into all these things and praying for them for all these things, when they need somebody really to link arms with them and pray with them. Not that they would repeat after you, but so that they will understand how to pray. They need to be shown how to pray. Lead by example. You know what? We only produce what we are. Did you know what the earliest culture is in the history of the world? The earliest known culture of the history of the world is this: agriculture. After their own kind, seed bearing fruit. Guess what that seed's going to produce? The fruit after its own kind. And so if you want praying children, you better be a praying man. You better be a praying woman. And in the altars, we don't pray for people, we pray with them. We pray with them to break through the spiritual strongholds that is hindering them from taking on the next step. Be careful. I'll come back to that. One thing that I like to do when I'm praying with children, I go to a child, even if they're sitting there, and they're not really praying too hard, but you could tell that they're very solemn. Has anybody ever seen a kid like that? They're just sitting there. They're not up in the front. They're not crying. They're not weeping. Sometimes they might have some tears. Or it's just evident that there's something going on in their little head and in their heart. Has anybody ever seen that before? What I like to do is I'd like to go up to them, and I like to sit down and I ask them, "You feel Jesus, don't you? Jesus is trying to do something in your life." And just don't preach at them. Just tell them, "Hey, I'd like to pray with you. Do you feel like talking to Jesus for a little bit and unloading some of that you feel to Jesus? He wants to listen to you. He wants to hear you." And then you ask them what they'd like to pray for. Way too many times, I've seen this way too many times, where automatically, just because the child is praying, we automatically think they're praying for the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Don't pop the clutch. They might not even know what the Holy Ghost is. They might not know that the Holy Ghost is for them. But they feel God in a mighty way, and they want to pray. They just don't know how. Don't automatically assume you know what they want to pray for. So I always ask the child when I go to pray with them, unless it's evident in their intensity and it's evident in what you hear them praying for, if they're already praying for the Holy Ghost, pray with them that they would get the Holy Ghost. Pray in faith that they would receive the Holy Ghost. Don't just go by and say, "Oh, that's real cute. Keep praying." I mean, we need some prayer warriors down in these altars, in these classrooms, and in these children's chapels that will lay hands on these kids in faith and say, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost," if it gets to that point in the spirit. We need to have faith. Amen. But don't assume. Ask them, "Hey, what would you like for me to pray with you about?" You know what this does? This shows the children that you care about them. This shows them that you have a burden to see their desires of their heart answered, and not just yours. You know what? There was a young girl that was praying, and she was praying, and everyone was praying for her that she would receive the Holy Ghost, and thinking that she was praying for the Holy Ghost, and she was just weeping. She had a broken heart. She was sobbing out to God. But she wasn't saying any words, and everybody kept trying to tell her to tell God praise and give God praise and all this stuff. And I put my arm around her, and I tried to be real calm, and I asked her, "Honey, what do you want to pray for right now? What is it that you want? At the end of this prayer session, this conversation with God, what do you want?" And she said, "I don't want my mama to be sick anymore." And she was pouring out her heart to God. And these people had no idea the need and the hurt and the pain and the need of release that was within her heart to give it to Jesus. She could have prayed for that, but everyone was so consumed about their agenda that they didn't take the time to care about what that little girl needed and wanted when she was praying. I want to see kids get the Holy Ghost, amen? But guess what? These kids, when they come to these altars and they're sensitive to God and they're crying before God, we cannot force the Holy Ghost into their spirit. It has to be something that they ask and they receive. And so if they're not praying for it, don't force it down their throat. Don't grab their tongue and start wagging it around. Let them pray for what they have need of. Let them come to God with that, with the faith as of a little child. And I want to give Brother Wayne here plenty of room as well. But something to be considerate of, be careful of your hand placement. I know this sounds really weird, okay? If you know the child, if they're family, that might be one thing. But if it's a bus kid, you don't know where they're coming from, you don't know the experiences that they face at home, You don't know if they're abused. One little touch somewhere that in your intentions was pure could bring back memories like that to a child. That's not the place. The altar isn't a place for that to happen. So be careful of your hand placement. What I like to pray with kids at is either the wrist, the upper shoulder, or the upper back. Don't get too low. Don't rub their back. They might fall asleep on you. They might not stop praying just because, hey, that feels a little nice. I'm going to keep crying a little bit. Right? Oh, yeah. A little higher.
Apostolic back rub.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Right?
Glory.
Totally. It totally happens, right? Yeah.
Exactly. So be careful of hand placement. We want to show these kids that we care, but we also want to move of God. Okay? Depending on your church stand on this, when it gets to a certain point in faith, I try to be careful on just laying hands on people. I try to be careful about that. I don't like just to go up to people and just throw my hands on their head. And I don't know where your pastor stands on this. You do what's right in your church's eyes in this area. But I feel when faith is being built in a child's prayer, you feel it in the spirit. You really feel it. They get louder. The tears start falling harder. They start to shake. Their chin starts to quiver. It's at that point, I really feel like God is trying to build our faith. I lay your hands on them, on their head or wherever you want to do it. Let them know that, hey, we're behind you. Before you start praying with them, let them know, hey, I can't give you anything that you're praying for. That's why we're praying. So don't pay attention to me. You talk to God the way you know how, and I'm going to talk to God the way I know how, and together we're going to pray for this. Together. But I have a little thing that many of you guys have probably already heard about it, but I have a thing, and if you guys would prepare the scriptures on the board, I didn't give you any scriptures, but just follow along if you could. I use something that I like to call the lift kit of prayer. Has anybody ever heard the lift kit of prayer before? Or ever heard me talk about the lift kit of prayer? The lift kit of prayer is this, and it's effective. I've seen it work with kids. Lift kit of prayer. Number one, tell your ministry team, if there's teachers here, if there's altar workers here that might be working in your altars in kids' church, tell them this this technique. Tell them the lift kit because it's effective. I've seen it work. And then let the kids know about it as well. You don't have to preach a message on it. Just kind of go over it. You don't have to give them the Bible like I'm about to give it to you. Number one, you have to close your eyes. Why? I tell the kids this. God's a spirit. He's invisible. You can't see him anyway. Just close your eyes. Because the devil wants to use your eyes to distract you from talking to God. And the devil wants to distract you with your eyes from seeing everybody else. And you're going to start feeling intimidated from what you see and what's around you instead of what you can get from Jesus in prayer. So that is number one. You have to have them focus on Jesus and close their eyes. If they don't close their eyes and they're looking around, they're opening their eyes, they're peeking out, they might be crying, but listen, they're not going to get much out of that prayer if they're looking around because they're not totally in tune with what God wants to give them. Number two, and this is scriptural here. Lift up your head. Psalms 24:7. Lift up your head. Lift kit of prayer right here. We try to bring the kids to an altar. Let's try to keep their heads lifted up. Keep their chin above their shoulders. Don't let it drop down. Don't let them be bogged down. I've seen kids get the Holy Ghost that way before. But listen, it is just so much freer in the altars when a child comes to God and they have their head lifted up. In Psalms 24 and verse number 7, it says, "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall," somebody say shall, "come in." Luke chapter 21 and verse 28. What does that tell you there? Lift up your heads and the King of glory shall come in. Well, what's the Holy Ghost? It's the King of glory. And if we want him to come in, we've got to open the door. You know how that happens? Lift up your head. Luke chapter 21 and verse number 28. Even Jesus said this. He said this. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads. Why? For your redemption draweth nigh. There's a connection there when you lift up your head and redemption and the King of Glory coming in. And if you want your kids to get the Holy Ghost, you make sure that their heads are lifted up high and they come boldly into the throne room of grace to ask Jesus what they have need of. The third thing that I use in the lift kit of prayer is lifting up your hands. Does anybody know why we lift up our hands? It's the universal sign of surrender, right? Well, that's the easy version of understanding it. That's obvious. Did you know it's scriptural? Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 41. This is scripture why we lift up our hands. The Bible tells us why we lift up our hands. Lamentations 3:41. I'll just quote it, but you can put it up on the board for everybody else if you want. The Bible says, lift up your heart with your hands. Can anybody lift up your heart? No, can't do it. I can't physically lift up my heart. But in the eyes of Jesus Christ, when we lift up our heart, when we lift up our hands, we're giving God our heart. And we're surrendering everything we are to him. And so that's part of the lift kit of prayer. Close your eyes, lift up your head, lift up your hands, and then lift up your voice. In Acts chapter 2, did you know the only physical sign there was in that upper room was coming from their voices? Everything was similes. Everything else was metaphors. The wind, the fire, everything was like as. And then it hits. And they were all filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they began. It wasn't like as anything. They began to speak in tongues. That's the evidence. We tell these kids that the way you know you're going to get the Holy Ghost is when you start feeling like you're going to speak in a different language that you've never been taught before. Don't be afraid of that. You know why? Because that's the evidence that God has filled you with the Holy Ghost. But you have to lift up your voice. You have to be speaking in order to speak in tongues. But the kids don't have to be screaming to speak in tongues either. I've prayed with a child at junior camp last year. And he was just praying normally. He had a couple of tears running down his face. But he wasn't screaming. He wasn't begging God. He wasn't being real loud. But you felt it. You felt it the moment the Holy Ghost fell. He started speaking in tongues. And it was just as natural as it could seem. It was amazing. It was amazing. Don't force kids to scream. And I know, especially in kids' services when there's music going on and all the kids are screaming around them, it's a little more difficult because you got to really listen. Don't be so consumed with praying for the child that you're, oh, Jesus, he needs you, he needs you, he needs you, he needs you. And he might be speaking in tongues and you're in his ear. Ah! And here he is speaking in tongues. If you would just listen, we're praying with them. You can't give them the Holy Ghost. Let's pray with these children and pay attention to their needs and pay attention when the Holy Ghost falls. Amen. One last thing, and I'm going to hand it over to Brother Wang. One last thing, and this is important. We must ask kids if they've received the Holy Ghost. You never, ever, ever, ever tell a child that they've received the Holy Ghost. Never tell a child they've received the Holy Ghost. If they receive the Holy Ghost, they'll tell you. They'll know it. You know why? You know why this is so important? Because what you thought was speaking in tongues might have been a kid, broken and excited, with his chin moving really fast, and in his little soft childish voice saying, hallelujah, 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 Jesus, Jesus. And you think that's speaking in tongues, and then afterwards you're all excited. You got the Holy Ghost, congratulations! Now that entire child's walk with God is based off of doubt and questioning and unreality. It's a false reality because they didn't really get it, and they know they didn't really get it, but everyone else around them tell them they did. And so what is this Holy Ghost thing anyway? Never tell a child that they've received the Holy Ghost. You ask them if they don't get excited about it and jump up from their seat and say, I got it, I got it. You go up to them and ask them. You could prompt them to have that conversation, but never tell a child that they've received the Holy Ghost. Why? Because Holy Ghost, it's important to salvation, but guess what? Your salvation doesn't end there. You've got a whole life to live walking in the Holy Ghost. And we got to make sure that these kids have it. So let's pray with them. Let's give them opportunity. If you got to cut time out of your power hour schedule, if you got to cut time out of your puppet skit that you wanted to do on a Sunday, whatever you got to do to give the kids opportunity to pray, it could be 2 minutes, it could be 10 minutes. You could just let the Holy Ghost take over in the middle of song service. I don't care what it is. You need to give the kids an opportunity to pray and bring their needs and bring their hunger for God to Him. Amen. Brother Wang, I don't know if you want to just jump
I'll try
up
to be
here.
Really quick. I'll try to be really quick.
You covered, sorry.
Yeah, let's give him a hand. That was great. Thank you, Brother Tyler. Okay. No, that was excellent. I'm going to take it from a different angle. I'm going to tell you about mistakes I've made, and hopefully you avoid them, okay? And I'll be quick about it. You know, Brother Tyler was talking about how with kids' church, sometimes you got to think really carefully. What is the end thing that we want to do? We want to give them a chance to pray, right? And there are too many times I was so excited about cramming so much into kids' church that the buses are waiting there. There's a ton of pressure. Bus workers are like trying to get their kids, worried that the parents are going to be wondering when they're coming home. And I messed up because I didn't schedule right and I didn't make room for God to move, right? So think about that and how you're planning things. The most important thing is we give room for God to move, right? And the next thing I'll offer you as advice is do it in an orderly manner. Make your instruction clear to these kids, right? Oftentimes when I'm making an altar call, I'm prepping them, saying, you know what, we gotta clean our hearts first, and let's all repent together. Let's just talk to God right now. I'm going to talk to Him my way. You can hear me saying this. We should repent every day. So you're going to hear me repent right now, but you use your own words if you want. If you don't have your words, use my words, and I just repent right in front of them. God, I want to be clean. Jesus, I'm calling your blood on me. Wash me, God. I need you to clean me. And I just say that right in front of them, like, pray together. I have the teachers and everybody else pray with them. We're all repenting right now. Everybody, eyes closed. We're all repenting right now, and they're all repenting. As that's happening, you know, I've kind of trained my team. And I'll say them, I'll prompt them. I'll be like, adults, I want you guys to come up here now. Everybody else, kids, I want your eyes closed. You start to talk to Jesus right now. Talk to Him about whatever you want to talk to Him about. But do you feel that He's moving here, right? And through the worship and the lesson and everything else, we have a loud and ushering of the presence of God. So we know it's ready. It's ready to happen. The adults come and they're ready. They're getting ready. They're looking. They're watching. Oftentimes, I'll say, eyes closed, everybody eyes closed. I want you to raise your hand right now if you don't have the Holy Ghost and you want it today. You want it today. And then we look. I want the adults to look. Look, mark these kids that are about to come up right now. They're ones that are specifically hungry for the Holy Ghost today. And then everybody else that comes up, they might be praying exactly like you were talking about. I've had kids that are praying for their sister that's in jail. Not for the Holy Ghost, for that. Right? So you can cause confusion and they can be frustrated. They're like, why are they praying for me like this? I'm just trying to pray for my sister, right? But what we want to know is the ones that want to pray for the Holy Ghost right now, right? So we know what to do, how to engage, how to help them. And then everybody else, we're just going to pray, right? When I make my altar call, I say, hey, whatever you want to pray about right now, this is a time to talk to God. If you want to pray for the Holy Ghost, it's here. Jesus will meet you here. Not because this is special, but because He's here and He wants to meet with you. If you just want to pray for your family, if you want to pray for yourself, if you want to pray that you feel safer in school, it doesn't matter. He's still here. If you want to come up, you come up right now. I want you to come up with your eyes closed and your hands lifted, and I want you to face that wall, and these adults will pray around you, but the praying is for you. You pray. And we will pray with you, but it's you praying, right? And they have very clear instructions what to do. So they come up, their eyes are closed. They're like this. You know why I say that? Because I didn't used to say that before. And you know what would happen? Kids would come up. They'd come up. And the adults would be facing this way. You know what they would do? They would face this way. And they'd be like, ah! And they're like facing everybody. And I'm realizing, oh, Jesus, I didn't mean for this kid to become a spectacle. It will break my heart, right? I'm just pouring out to you my heart. Like, I felt bad. I'm like, oh, it's my poor planning that did this. And I'm thinking in my mind, the second they open up their eyes, they're going to be distracted. Right? So setup is important. Right? You tell these kids, orderly manner, this is what's going to happen. And you lead them in their mind. You're going to pray. God's going to meet you here. And you're going to feel that he's going to move on you. And you might cry, and that's okay. Guys, God is a very big God, and when he moves on you, sometimes your little body doesn't know what to do other than to cry. And you'll see some of us cry, and that doesn't make me any less of a man or her any less of a woman. That is God moving on us, and there is nothing better than feeling this. It is okay. Right? Because there are some guys I see that they can't get the Holy Ghost because they're so worried. I'm gonna be a macho man. I'm an 8-year-old guy who I've been told. And I grew up in a home like that. Some of you that actually, you know when I've told stories like this, when I would skin my knee as a kid before my dad got the Holy Ghost, he would slap my hand. I would swear like the tears would roll back into my eyeballs, right? Because I was so scared. It's like, men do not cry. Jimmy, men do not cry, right? He'd be like, oh, Asian men don't cry, right? He was like very serious about that. And so like, I see these kids in the neighborhood, they come from those kind of backgrounds, and they're scared, right? They can hear the voices of their dads. Men don't cry. Like, what's happening to me right now? I don't know how to navigate this. Somebody's got to tell them it's okay, that it's normal, right? No, this is okay. And you know, something else that's going to happen? The Bible says, and if I feel it, sometimes I'll quote scripture, I'll show scripture. Say, look, every single time somebody got the Holy Ghost, this is what happened. And you're going to feel God move on you, and your hallelujah might start to change, and that's good. That's God saying, I'm in control right now. So if it happens to you, that's a good thing. But you just worship God, you focus on that, and he will move on you. You worry about that, right? And then, with the whole, like, what the workers do part, this is stuff I've learned over time just watching my team. Right? We were joking around about the apostolic back rub, but it really happens, right? And it's not because it's anybody's fault. We're trying to be supportive, and a lot of times it's just we don't know what to do. So we're just trying to be supportive. Jesus, help this person in the name of Jesus. And then we're like staring at them. We come back around, rub some more. Anything happening, right? You don't know what to do, right? Give your team instruction as well, just like with the kids. What I tell my team is coach them. You come around. Sometimes, you just like what Brother Tyler was saying, you need to be like, do you want the Holy Ghost? Sometimes, you know, like kids have been praying for a long time. It's okay to pause them, to stop them. Do you want the Holy Ghost? Yes. God wants to give you the Holy Ghost even more than you want it, right? So I'm gonna be with you, and I say the same thing he says. Right? I say, you know what? You're gonna hear me praying. It is so loud in here. You're not gonna really be able to know what I'm saying. I'm not gonna really know what you're saying. And don't worry about it. You talk to God in a slightly outside voice because he wants to know that you are talking to him. I say that for the same reason, because the fact that how's somebody gonna speak in tongues if they're not speaking, right? So you have to kind of get them out of that shell. And I say similar things, like, you know, you got to come boldly, just hands up, right? And sometimes I've said, like, it's like a funnel, make your hands like a funnel so God can fill you, right? Like, things like that, use those type of things. But posture, I find, is important. I found that posture is important. Like, you know, like kids, when they're like this, you know what happens? I have found that there are kids that are basically, like, beating themselves, you know, like, emotionally being like, oh, God, I'm such a sinner. And they just, like, keep, like, repenting. And they're in this repentance loop. And you got to take them out of it, right? I actually did that when I was a kid. I remember that. That's why I know that that happens. I was like, you know, like, I think back now, I'm like, what did I do? Like, I didn't kick a dog. I didn't anything. But, like, I just, like, want to repent forever. And I remember a minister did me that favor. And he's like, son, you can stop repenting. You know, when you said that you wanted God to forgive you, he did. He did when you asked him. Now just worship. Just praise him, right? Sometimes you got to do that for your kids. You got to just stop and be like, you asked for forgiveness. Did you mean it? Yeah. Well, then he means it too. He has forgiven you. You just worship now, right? So it's mindfulness. It's watching. It's watching the situation. And you can't watch the situation doing the back rub, right? You got to actually, you got to look. You got to get in front of these kids and look, right? So that's my advice to you. Look, assess, get things in position with your workers and with the kids. Give everybody very clear instructions and then keep readjusting. And you can create a climate where it allows God to move as he wants to move. The objective is we are as transparent in the process as humanly possible, right? That we've just created the right environment, right? When the soil is right, the plants will grow. So that's the big stuff. If you can avoid some of my mistakes, I hope you do, right? Where I have called altar calls and they were very disorganized. Or I barely called an altar call and there was so much pressure because I didn't plan my time right. Or I called the altar call and I didn't train any of my workers. Or I called the altar call and I didn't even know who we should be praying for. Right? I hope you avoid all those mistakes. I hope you get kids praying through every single time. And I believe it can happen. I absolutely believe it. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray right now. Let's pray right now. God, let your anointing be upon us, Lord. Every kids' church that we run, God, even in our Sunday school classrooms, Lord, if you would choose to fall there, do it, God. Help us, God, to be sensitive to the move of your Spirit, Lord. God, you have filled kids with the Holy Ghost in classrooms, Lord. It doesn't have to just be in kids' church. But God, when we have a kids' church, we want to see fruit. We want to see fruit, and we know you do even more than we do, God. Help us, Lord, to be wise as we win souls. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God.
Hallelujah. Amen. One last piece of advice on this subject, which is probably one of my pet peeves, is that you waste the greatest faith builder that you have when you don't take time to give instruction. To receive the Holy Ghost, it's about, as Brother Wang said, or I can't remember, Brother Hodge, you've got to be a coach. Tell them what the Bible says in Acts 19 that says this. Paul laid his hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. I'm going to lay my hand like Paul did because the Bible can't lie. And when I lay my hand on you, you're going to begin to feel God. Don't worry what it sounds like. God is not a liar. It's going to come in. Many people just put their hand on them. They know nothing about what you're doing. You just wasted the greatest faith builder that you can have when you let them know. This is what the Bible said that Paul did, and it's going to happen to you. So take the time to tell them about why I'm laying my hand on you, your head, and what's going to happen. Well, there's one scripture that comes to my mind. It's in the book of Philippians. It's in the 4th chapter, and it's the 8th verse. And it starts like this. Finally, brethren. Finally, brethren, you've been here since 9 o'clock, and guess what? I'm the thing between you and going and making something happen in your Sunday school. Finally, brethren, I first want to say thank you to everyone that came to this time of training. Amen. And I want to thank the pastors of SCC that have provided the finances for this, and it's been incredible. Amen. We want to thank Brother Hodge for coming. Brother Tyler Hodge, stand, brother. And then, Brother James Wang, amen. Haven't they been incredible today? Why don't you give them a rounding, standing applause for what they've done? Amen. Amen. And then, Brother Philip Booker, for coordinating everything. Woo, 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 woo. Amen. Amen. And then all of the kids directors of the churches that have helped. Amen. And I personally want to thank all of the Hope Center staff that has worked so hard, from security to the food with the, Brother Joe and Sister Melissa Zemke, Brother Harvey helping with multimedia, Brother Joel, secretaries making copies, all kinds of stuff.
Let's give it up for Pastor BJ Wilman.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Well, you may be seated. You thought you were leaving. Okay, first of all, if you haven't filled out the feedback sheet, you need to fill it out. Okay? Don't fill it out yet, because I'm not done. If you don't have the sheet, raise your hand real quick. The usher's going to get some to you right now. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Keep your hand up. Neighbor to those that have their hand up, put your fingers over your nose so you're not blown away, you know. Just keep your hand up. That's it. Once you get it, this has nothing to do with going to the bathroom like the rule said last night with your hand up, okay? Just means you're getting this, okay? Cool. There's some over here. Got one here. He just now did it. But, you know, he just forgot real quick. We got a couple over here. Way over there. Two. One there in the back. One right there. Two over there. One there still in the back. Are we one short? We're one short. You got an empty one? Have you already filled it out? No. Well, you just keep it. We'll get her one. Oh, you already have. Here it is, right there. Thank you, Jesus, for using our brother, hallelujah, to provide the empty sheet. Hallelujah. Now, the sister in the pink. Okay. Let me say a couple of things. First of all, I want you to know this. The most important person that you must lead is yourself. If you don't lead yourself, you can't lead kids. If you don't lead yourself, that's who you first got to lead. Okay. Now, here's what we're going to ask you to do. The ushers are going to help me right now pass out to everybody here. We're going to tell you to do this. First of all, right now, I want you to write down the three things you're going to do this month that you got from this conference. What three things are you going to do? Okay. What three things, I want you to think, what three things am I going to do before December that I need to do in my Sunday school class, in my kids' church, in my bus ministry? Take the time right now. You need to write it down. Take the time right now. Okay? They're passing them out. I want you to write it down. Three things. Make sure they're most important things you need to do. Okay? Three things. Write down what you are going to do from our time together. What have you learned? What do you need to do? Three things. Write it down. You're gonna do them by December 1st. So you're going to actually have a little bit over a month. These guys haven't got any. I need two of them up here. Oh, yeah. I'm trying to make you guys better, you know. That's what you want. Okay, three things do you need to do in your ministry before December the 1st? Might be bus ministry, might be Sunday school, might be kids' church, whatever. I'm going to wait for just a few more minutes, few more seconds, because I said, finally, brethren. Okay, how are we doing? We got it? Cool. Okay, here's what I want you to do with that. Put it on what's most important to you, the mirror or the refrigerator. Okay? What's most important to you? The mirror or the refrigerator? The shower, I heard someone say. Just don't let it get wet. Okay. And the last thing is to notice at the bottom of the sheet, there are two websites that you can go to that you will be able to download all of the notes of the conference. And they will be made available to you. So give us a few days to get that all together for you. So don't go there today. Don't go there, you know. Give us, you know, how about November 1st, okay? And then if they're not up there, you get in touch with Brother Philip Booker. Okay? And you tell him, where are they at? And Brother Booker, don't make me a liar now. Come on. Help me. I got to make it to heaven. I need you to help me now. Amen.
Okay. So just quickly, for the Next Level Kidmin stuff, I can get the PDFs of all of those presentations that I did up there pretty quick. So any other things that we're posting, we'll have to kind of work on. The other thing I'll mention is we have a Next Level Kidmin Instagram account. And if you've followed it, if you've checked it out, the whole purpose of it is for us to inspire each other, right? So if you've got something exciting that you want to share, please tag us so we know and we can post it too. Because the whole idea is we should be uplifting each other. being excited for each other's revival, right? Being each other for each other, like being support to each other. Hey, this is so cool that you did that lesson and this is happening. And wow, I want to know how you did this. And sharing, getting the dialogue going. So there's the Instagram, there's the site. You know, just quickly mentioning, if you don't mind, like with Apostolic Sunday School, Brother Booker and team doing that. I'll tell you, with me, I'm not a good documenter. I do a lot of crazy object lessons and stuff like that, but you wouldn't know it, really, other than like pictures here and there. I'm terrible at putting that stuff down. I don't know how you do it, man, but kudos to you. Like, that's so incredible. It is such an awesome resource, and he's got it so well documented. I'm so excited that, that something like that is happening. What I do at Next Level Kidmin is really more, I like orchestrating things where I just get speakers together, and we just have kind of online sessions. Our last session, we actually had over 100 people register, and we got pictures of people who were actually having viewing sessions together, like a room of eight, and they're just watching on their laptop, and you can ask questions. So we did a bus ministry one just recently, and we're doing this type of stuff because, you know, what I was saying about conferences is half the value is what you hear. The other half is the fellowship that happens, all the questions and other things like that, and the bonds you make with other people, because when we're in our churches, we feel alone sometimes, right? But there's so many other people fighting to do exactly what we're doing, right? And that type of stuff can't really be conveyed online, so that's what's precious about here. But at least what can be conveyed is information, right? So, you know, we have a lot of that type of stuff. You got ideas for sessions, let me know. And, you know, just wanted to make that type of stuff available and clear. So, thank you.
Amen. Okay, let's stand together right now. And the ushers will be at the doors. They will not let you through until you have filled out the feedback. So make sure that you, after we pray, you take a few moments there and you feed it. Do that. You can all also take this home, keep it with you, put it on your refrigerator, on your mirror, on your Instagram account, on your computer, just wherever, okay? And you're going to do great things for God. You're going to do great things for the kingdom. Understand. My greatest days are before me. They're not behind me. Your greatest days are before you, not behind you. If I thought my greatest prayer meeting had already been had, I'd stop praying. If I thought my greatest preaching had ever happened, I'd start preaching. I'd stop preaching. But I keep believing that I'm going to preach better than I've ever preached. I'm going to teach better than I've ever taught. I'm going to lead more than I've ever led. I'm going to have greater prayer meetings than I've ever had before. The best is yet to come in your life. Amen. Let's clap our hands and give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus, for this time. Thank you, Jesus, for this moment. I give you praise. I give you glory. Hallelujah. You're a great God. Thank you, God, for dedicated people. Thank you for consecrated people. Thank you, God, for people that want to go beyond where they're at. They want to grow. They want to become. I thank you, God, in the name of the Lord. Amen. Make sure, it's very important, you fill that feedback out. We're wanting to create a list for emails and your name and all kinds of stuff that we can continually be flooding to you things that can help you. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming. Actually, the ushers, well, there's no ushers, so you can escape if you want to. But put them on the registration table right there in the basket. Amen. God bless you. Hilltop, if you can, come right up here. Brother Farley wants to meet with you. Amen.